this Saturday is our thing that we do. So if you don't have any, if you have any questions, just, you know what that is. A lady was picking through the frozen turkeys at the grocery store, but couldn't find one big enough for her family. She asked the stock boy, "Do these turkeys get any bigger?" The stock boy answered, "No, ma'am, they're dead." Watch this little quick video.
Nobody expected the arrival of a baby.
It's Christmas season. We start in that series next week, actually. So it's 5 weeks long. Talk about Christmas dealing with different people, Mary, Joseph, the innkeeper. Some of those will be starting that next week. Wow. Christmas is just around the corner. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Today we're here for Thanksgiving. It says this, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky." I'm not going to spend a lot of time today. We have a meal preparing for our potluck. I was actually here just one before 6 o'clock getting a turkey on the smoker. Do you smell it?
Yes.
But how many know it's extremely difficult? It's extremely difficult to be thankful when it seems like all hell is crashing around you. Amen? I was reading a challenge from someone this week, and I can't remember who it was, but it was an article with something like the things waiting to be preached. And so today the message is from that challenge. I'm going to give you some things to help you get this from being thankful. I'm going to help you be ungrateful today. I know we all need that because we always do what Paul instructed us to do, right? Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18, says this, "Rejoice always." How many always does that? "Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So I know that we all do that all the time. So I don't need to teach you how to do that. I need you how to take what Paul said and say, "Really, Paul, you're wrong. You're mistaken." Because, but let me read that. Before I do that, let me just read this from the Passion Translation. It says, "Let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks. For this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus." And since we don't want to be in God's perfect plan, we really don't want to make sure that we're always thankful. Now, we started reading today Philippians 2, 14 and 15. It'll be online. You can go back and check it out later. "Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the stars." But I think Paul wrote this to a people that just hadn't yet quite mastered complaining. If Paul could hear how well we have perfected complaining, surely he would change his opinion on what he wrote. So here's a few things for you today to make you a better complainer. Now, if you're taking notes, you may want to write these down. And by the way, that's the first one. Make sure that you record all those things. Journal them. Take good notes. Write things down. And write those things down that really bother you. The pet peeves you have. It's so much easier to keep track if you document them. I think you need to write down 3 or 4 things a day. That just really ticked you off. Then, and they can even be the simplest, the smallest, the puniest of issues. It doesn't matter. Just write them down. Because we want to remember those things for years to come. And if you write them down, you can always go back and rehash them all over again. How fun is that? Heck, it might be worth going back to it every day and find out what the people were, that the jerks that they were that day to you. It might be fun. Proverbs 26:20 says this: without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. I love that scripture. And that brings me to point number 2.
We should tell people about it.
Make sure you spend time. You ready?
Right.
Practicing being frustrated and irritable. Especially with the things you can't control. And the stronger you label the things, the better you can cultivate that grumbling, that irritable spirit. You know what an adjective is? An adjective is a word that describes a noun. So use adjectives that really separate you apart. Words like horrible, bad, atrocious, irritating. My favorite, stupid.
You are so lucky.
And when you place those words describing those people, wow, what an impact they have.
Right?
The third point is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Find ways to make yourself distracted. I know that's difficult with everything we have in our lives. So make sure that you make a conscious effort to be distracted. I think when people are always thankful, it's mainly because they lack the ability to remember all the bad things that have happened in the past, or else find a way to worry about what is yet to happen in their life. So if you want to be a really good complainer, you need to look in that journal, remember those bad things, and also find a way to make sure you worry about the future that you will not be able to change anyway. And why sit with the family and have good conversation and food when you can play on your phone or your iPad? I mean, it would be better if you just watch TV by yourself than be with all of them anyway, right? If you give yourself too much time to focus on all that's good happening around you, you miss out on all those potential threats somewhere over the rainbow.
Right.
Or worse yet, the bad things that you've already experienced. Remember your journal? And now for probably the most important on the list, focus on your prayer time. I mean, really focus. prayer is a wonderful tool for getting what you want. Stop spending all that time in worship and praising God for His attributes. He already knows what He does well. Really? I mean, He knows how good He is. We need to focus on those things we don't have that we so desperately want. And since we're talking about this, another would be stop reading His Word. He already knows what He said. He wrote it. Remember the journal? For Pete's sake, spend time reading the comics or some love story. Oh, and lastly, stop focusing on your health. I heard it said, die young, make a pretty corpse. Heck, if you're saved, you see Jesus sooner. Do you realize that the healthier people are, the more likely they are to be grateful and have a more productive outlook and a positive outlook? And the positive people are, well, they just seem to make healthy decisions. Have you ever noticed those really happy people? Always in a good mood, always smiling, always cracking jokes, always, happy. Don't you want to slap them sometimes? So may I suggest you get as little sleep as possible, because a lack of sleep can help create the anxiety that you always want. And the anxiety, well, that's like steroids to complainers. Oh, and exercise? Any exercise? That's like poison. Exercise releases endorphins. And nobody needs those happy little chemicals floating around in their body. That will stop us from seeing the worst in people. And remember those adjectives we talked about? And seeing the world as this huge cesspool that it is. Now listen, church, I know this is a little tongue-in-cheek on Thanksgiving. And trust me, we need to do just the opposite of what I've been telling you to do. Amen? We need to do just the opposite of what I mentioned, people. We need to learn to be more thankful in all things. Yes, I said all things. Let me read our opening scripture in Philippians from the Passion Translation. Also says this: live a cheerful life without complaining or division among yourselves. For then you will be seen as innocent, faultless, and pure children of God, even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture, for you will appear among them as shining lights in the universe. And how many want to be seen as shining lights? Amen. And the only way to do that is to live a cheerful life. The world has seen enough grumblers and complainers. You've been around enough grumblers and complainers. I want to be a light that's not hidden, one that just shines bright and live life to its fullest. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I came to give them life and that more abundantly. He gave us abundant life. And to me, abundant life would be happy life. Amen. Now, I've learned a long time ago, happy wife, happy life. I've learned that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just being happy. Now, just being happy. And the key is in this next verse. Verse 16 says, offering them the words of eternal life. When you're cheerful, when you're happy, when you can live a life that seems innocent, faultless, and pure as children of God, when you live in the midst of this world of chaos and this perverse culture and this brutal culture, when you live a life that's happy and cheerful in spite of all that, you give them words of eternal life. So look what Scripture tells us about being thankful. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 says this: though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. In other words, when it seems like nothing is going in my favor, when it looks like my year of plenty is ended, when all my animals have left, I can still be thankful. Because I just know how good He is. For many of us, our thankfulness is too often determined by our circumstances. First Corinthians 5, 16 through 18 tells us, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice when?
Always.
When all is well?
No.
When everybody likes me? When I feel like it? Always. When I don't feel like it, when someone hates me, when whatever it is. Psalms 106, verse 1 tells us, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Ephesians 5:20 says this, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. You mean I need to thank Him when I lose my job?
Yes.
Yep. Thank Him when I get my promotion? Yes. Yep. Thank Him when the world around me is falling apart? Yep. Thank Him no matter what circumstance you find Him, because our thanksgiving does not depend on our circumstances. It depends on who He is. And He is a good, good Father all the time.
Yes.
Colossians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Chronicles, rather, chapter 16, verse 34. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Sound familiar?
Yes.
Colossians 4, 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Wait a second. Prayer. Oh, really? That discipline called prayer, I got to be thankful during that? Yeah. The results are great. Try it. Philippians 4, 6 says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, but in how many situations? Every. By prayer and petition with grumbling. With complaining. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. Wow. Imagine that. In everything, every situation, every circumstance, everything my life goes through, everything I've got to deal with, everything you got to go through, all the people you got to do with at work or whatever, everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Lord, I'm so thankful for a boss that doesn't even know You. That's what it's saying. I'm so thankful for a job that doesn't give me any bonuses. That's what it's saying. I'm so thankful that, you know, for my heathen neighbor across the street that has loud parties every weekend. Whatever. Everything. Give thanks. I'm thankful. That's what it says. Some work we got to do, huh? some work we have to do. Amen. Psalm 104. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And the next verse tells us why. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Colossians 3:16-17. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, say that with me, whatever I do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all with thanks. Do it all with just gratitude. I'm gonna close just a minute here, but I'm gonna do one more video really quick. It's called The Spoken Word on Thanksgiving, and I'm going to just have a few closing thoughts, and then we'll finish up. Go ahead, Randy.
Give thanks for the good days. When the traffic lights all turn green, when promotions come and bad habits are broken. Give thanks for warm meals and the company of friends. Give thanks for undeniable blessings and clear direction. When the music floods your soul and the worship songs flow without effort. Give thanks for coffee and clothing and hope that the two never mix. Give thanks for the mother who battles daily in prayer. For the father working three jobs. For the brothers and sisters who build blanket forts and read bedtime stories. Give thanks for sons and daughters and all our family who remind us of what truly matters. Give thanks for the stranger who holds the door open and the lifelong friend who holds you when life is broken. Give thanks for the hard days, for the phone call that brings life crashing down, for jobs lost and friendships fallen into conflict. Give thanks for the anger that reminds us we are human, and the tears that express more than words can ever fathom. Give thanks, though the pain is overwhelming, your energy spent, your spirit fallen, and your only option is to fall to your knees before your Holy Father and cry out, God, please help me. For in that moment, his power is made perfect. His love is made evident. He becomes your strength, your comfort, and your salvation. Give thanks for the power of redemption, from Genesis to Revelation, for the endless promises of a God who would rather sacrifice his son than give up on his children. For nail-pierced hands, for brilliant dawns, for the cool touch of rain and the simplicity of a quiet day. For all things great and small, let us give thanks.
So, let's close the service by going to two or three sitting by you and tell them what you're thankful for, and then tell them what you're thankful for them for, and then we'll go eat. And may I suggest that when you're eating, you don't gobble till you wobble. You got to make sure you get home. But Lord, we just ask you to bless the food before us. We ask you to thank you for this service today for those that are here. We ask as we leave this place, God, and go next door to the fellowship, that, Lord, you just let us be thankful for those around us. Let us know what we're thankful for. Let them know that we will share with them as well. So I just pray that you begin to open our hearts up to receive what you have in store for us this week, and we just ask you bless and move in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen.